This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Need an easy button to feed your baby? Baby Brezza's Formula Pro Advanced makes a perfectly mixed warm formula bottle automatically at the push of a button. No air bubbles, no fuss. Literally, choose your temp, select your ounces, push start, and you're done. Works with virtually all formulas and bottles. Say goodbye to the 3 a.m. feeding chaos and hello to this revolutionary stress-free solution. Raising a baby is hard enough. Let Baby Brezza make feeding a breeze. Get your Formula Pro Advanced at babybrezza.com.
How often does Charlie cross your mind?
Not as often as you think, but probably once a week.
Have you ever dreamed about him?
Not since I've been an adult. I think it's amazing that I'm a walking, talking person, frankly. And nobody gives me credit for that. The fact that I'm like a normal person is a miracle.
I'm speaking with actress Candace Bergen. You probably know her best as TV's Murphy Brown. It's a role that won her 5 Emmys.
Which one of you turkeys got their greasy fingerprints all over my Emmy?
All right, she's back!
But her real-life story could be its own TV series, more Twilight Zone than sitcom. You see, Candace Bergen grew up with a rather unusual sibling.
And he was always called my brother since I was a little kid. It was like, and your brother Charlie. There was always such an aura around him in the house. He had his own room next to mine. It was a guest room, but it was called Charlie's room. And Charlie was in the closet.
Oh, did he sleep in the closet?
He would hang in the closet. And his different heads would hang in the closet. And he had a sleepy head and an old head and an angry head.
Yeah, for Charlie's different moods.
Exactly.
Without your father manipulating him, he must have looked...
dead. Not dead enough. He was always living.
The Charlie we're talking about is Charlie McCarthy. And if you haven't figured it out already, Charlie was a dummy. Yes, a boy made of wood. And Candace's father, Edgar Bergen, was the ventriloquist who brought him to life.
Well, I believe in letting a boy work for his money. Yes, you've proven that. Yes.
Listeners of a certain age will remember Charlie as the ultimate smart aleck, usually dressed in a tuxedo with a top hat and monocle. And for a time, this dummy was one of this country's biggest stars.
Miss West, this is the famous Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, hello, short, dark, and handsome.
Hello, tall, blonde, and terrific.
He was like a head of state. A minor state, you know, like Monaco.
Well, he had his own coat of arms, right?
Yeah, he did. He had a Charlie McCarthy crest and a scepter and a crown. And I thought, this guy must really rate.
Charlie was kind of like God. I mean,
he was to me.
From CBS Sunday Morning and iHeart, I'm Mo Rocca, and this is Mobituaries. This moment, Charlie McCarthy, September 30th, 1978. Death of a Dummy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so proud of how weird and eccentric my childhood was. Nobody has a childhood as weird as me. I mean, I knew a lot of people whose parents were famous, and none of them did anything nearly as weird as my father.
Right. So Nancy Sinatra, Liza Minnelli, Jane Fonda, all had famous parents, but...
but they were normal.
They weren't living with dummies.
Right.
We're going to continue with Candace Bergen's weird and eccentric childhood in Act Two. But in this act, I'm going to tell you the story of her father's unlikely and spectacular rise to fame as a ventriloquist. Because there is no Charlie McCarthy without Edgar Bergen. Edgar Bergen was born in Chicago to Swedish immigrants in 1903. At age 11, he began learning ventriloquism from a book he'd purchased for a quarter. At 16, he managed to impress a touring vaudeville performer known as the Great Lester, enough so to get a few months of free one-on-one lessons in ventriloquism.
In my first year at high school, I discovered I was a ventriloquist, and I earned my first dishonest money answering roll calls from missing classmates. In my senior year, I teamed up with Charlie. We've been partners ever since.
Charlie was made to order. Edgar had paid Chicago woodcarver Theodore Mack $35 to carve Charlie's head.
Well, my father based the look of him on a newsboy in his neighborhood in Illinois.
This newsie, an Irish kid named Charlie, was around Edgar's age. He inspired not only the dummy's first name, but also his appearance. Short red hair, high rosy cheekbones, and big bright eyes. As for the dummy's personality?
He was cocky and smart and ambitious for a dummy and very confident.
How many of those characteristics describe your father?
None.
Edgar tended to be taciturn, uneasy, and withdrawn. Candace describes her father as stereotypically Swedish. Charlie gave Edgar a chance to break out of his shell.
I mean, he could say anything through Charlie, and he wouldn't have to take the blame.
That is pretty handy to have an id that you can just take with you.
Yeah.
Right? And these are the things I want to be able to say. Now, Edgar had not been raised to work with a dummy.
He was at Northwestern as a student. He was either going to go into medicine or be a ventriloquist. It was like,
It was no to medicine, yes to ventriloquism. And being a good ventriloquist meant learning to throw his voice. And for people who don't know, can you explain, what does it mean to throw your voice? What does that mean?
It means that you squeeze it from your diaphragm, and it gives the illusion that your voice is coming from across the room and that there's someone at the door or that there's someone in the corner. And you go, who's in here? It's like a vocal illusion.
In its earliest ancient forms, ventriloquism was associated with oracles who claimed to address spirits dwelling inside their stomachs. By the time Edgar Bergen was coming up, those so-called belly prophets had become known as belly talkers, a not exactly prestigious form of entertainment. These were the days of vaudeville, and for a decade, Edgar and Charlie played theaters across the country. Luxurious this was not, and yet Edgar would later describe this as the happiest time in his career.
Yeah, he would talk about vaudeville and, you know, how getting on the trains and sleeping on the trunks and just going from town to town, and it would be freezing cold and then it was baking hot, but he loved it.
A typical vaudeville bill would include up to 10 live stage acts, running the gamut from established singers and comedians to novelty acts like mind readers, jugglers, and trained lions. Edgar and Charlie steadily climbed the ranks, and eventually arrived at the Valhalla of Vaudeville, performing at New York's Palace Theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Playing the Palace.
Playing,
I mean, that was the pinnacle.
The Palace. It was the pinnacle. We always used to come to New York and he would say, Candy, that is the theater where your father performed in vaudeville. And I was so indifferent. I was just like, yeah, right.
Edgar, it turned out, reached this peak just in time. Within a few years, vaudeville had been overtaken by motion pictures and radio. And vaudeville's over, and your father had to remake himself.
That's when he started to make the break, was when he played the supper clubs in Chicago. I mean, it was very swanky.
The act was a hit in Chicago, and word made its way west to a very influential entertainer.
And Rudy Valley discovered my father. And then Rudy Valley brought my father to Hollywood.
Rudy Valley was a singer and band leader with a popular radio show.
Just imagine the dummy and take my word for it that both voices you will hear are owned and operated by just one man, Edgar Bergen.
Edgar and Charlie made their radio debut on Rudy Valley's program in December 1936.
Why put a ventriloquist on the air? The answer is, why not? True, our ventriloquist, Edgar Bergen, is an unusual one, sort of Noel Coward or perhaps Fred Allen among ventriloquists. A dexterous fellow who depends more upon the cleverness and wit of his material than upon the believe-it-or-not nature of his delivery.
A ventriloquist act on the radio.
Yes, I know.
This doesn't make a lot of sense to modern ears, so can you explain it?
It doesn't make sense to any ears, but it gave him latitude. Charlie could ski. Charlie could ride horses. Charlie could climb mountains. There was nothing they couldn't do on the radio.
Wow. So a ventriloquist act on the radio actually had more freedom,
yeah,
had more creative potential.
Yeah. It was more engaging for the radio audience because they were so unfettered.
Let's hear a bit of the act from that first radio broadcast.
Alcohol, it's nothing but slow poison.
Is what?
It's slow poison.
Is that so?
Yes.
Slow poison?
That's what it is.
Slow poison.
Yes.
Well, I'm in no hurry.
Well, then it's all right.
That appearance was such a success, they got their own show. Well, Charlie got his own show.
Makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee bring you the Charlie McCarthy Show, starring Edgar Bergen and Don Ameche.
The golden age of radio was just getting started. Edgar and Charlie caroused with all the big stars of the day.
Charlie, why don't you walk out on Bergen? What's holding you?
He is.
His on-air banter with legendary vamp Mae West caused controversy.
Why don't you come up home with me now, honey? I'll let you play in my woodpile.
Well.
Charlie cracked wise with crooner Frank Sinatra.
Well, tell me, Charlie, what makes you think you could make me a success?
Well, look what I did for Bergen.
And Charlie fawned over a young Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn, my dear, we were made for each other.
Kiss me, Charlie, just to make sure.
Yes, gladly, all right.
Charlie had particularly memorable exchanges with comedian W.C. Fields.
Why, the only laugh you ever got was a sneer from a disgruntled termite.
Why?
I read somewhere that W.C. Fields genuinely hated Charlie.
Yeah, he probably did.
Called him a flop house for termites.
Or I'll whittle you down to a coat hanger. That was one line.
Around this time, Edgar and Charlie began appearing in movies where the audience could see them at work. Here they are in the 1938 backstage drama Letter of Introduction.
You're not so clever either, Mr. Bergen. Oh, I'm not. No. I can see your lips move.
Oh, you
That burns him up, you know.
He was not meticulous about his technique.
Really?
Because people could always see him moving his lips.
Well, I was going to say that. And why didn't that bother people? I mean, his audience still loved it.
I think because they were focused on Charlie and the material was so smart.
And so the fact that you could see Edgar Bergen's mouth moving a little bit.
A lot.
Okay.
I think it was a lot.
Yeah. It should be noted that Edgar Bergen created other characters. The sweet but slow-witted Mortimer Snerd.
You don't get around very much, do you, Mortimer?
No. I live with Grandpa.
You live with Grandpa?
Yes.
I mean, some people loved Mortimer. And he had his own theme song. And
And then there was Spitfire spinster Effie Clinker.
You're not me?
No, I'm not, no. No, damn it, no, I'm not.
And Effie had no interest for me.
Charlie was just not going to let these other characters shine.
No.
There was just no way.
No, and they weren't his equal.
In 1937, at the height of their fame, Edgar received an honorary Oscar for the creation of Charlie. The statuette itself was wooden with a movable mouth. And then the next year, another milestone of sorts. Edgar and Charlie's radio show was airing at the same time as Orson Welles' infamous War of the Worlds broadcast. You may remember that program led some listeners to believe that Martians were invading rural New Jersey.
And things stopped in parts of the country. People were so panic-stricken because they thought we were being invaded by aliens. It only didn't end life in America because many people were listening to my father's radio show, which was on at the same time.
Orson Welles later claimed that he received a telegram from drama critic Alexander Wolcott saying, quote, "This only goes to prove, my Beamish boy, that all the intelligent people were listening to that dummy and that all the dummies were listening to you." Charlie even met two U.S. presidents, FDR and Harry Truman.
Yeah, he met everybody. I have an invitation from Mrs. Roosevelt to Charles McCarthy to lunch at the White House. I don't know if my father was invited, but Charlie was definitely invited.
This has really been a wonderful day for us.
Yes, it has.
Lunch at the White House.
Potluck with the Roosevelts. Yes.
By the time Candace Bergen was born in 1946, Charlie McCarthy was a megastar. Coming up after the break, a sibling rivalry unlike any other.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at GameBridge.io. Please visit GameBridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, for product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Who is he? What is your father's name?
Edgar Bergen.
In 1958, a young Candace Bergen appeared on the comedy quiz show You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx.
Your father is Edgar Bergen, the Swedish Nightingale?
Yeah.
Well, then your brothers must be Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snyder.
Huh? That's right.
It was not good for Charlie when I was born. Charlie was always competition for me, and he always won.
When Candace Bergen was born in 1946, it was kind of big news. Papers featured a photo of baby Candace in her cradle, lovingly surrounded by Father Edgar, Mother Frances, and yes, Charlie. The photo caption in the Los Angeles Times actually read, "Charlie's new kin."
I mean, it was an eccentric childhood. When we used to have breakfast, the three of us, my father, Charlie, and I, and we would sit at the table, and my father would put me on one knee and Charlie on the other, and he would have us talk to each other.
Were you actually talking in this scenario?
I was talking, but my father was squeezing my neck to cue me when to move my mouth.
Oh, okay.
To start talking. I find photographs sometimes of me when I was like 7 or 8, and I am giving Charlie a look that's like, as soon as my father leaves, I am going to put a knife in your rib. I mean, it's like, I cannot wait to kill this thing.
Probably no image captures their relationship more than the Christmas photo the two took when Candace was just 3. There's no other way to say it. It's pretty creepy. She and Charlie stand at the top of a dark staircase in matching footy pajamas. Candace is holding a lit candle, while Charlie, wearing his monocle, just kind of hovers. Both glare straight ahead.
Just about to push him down the stairs, just on the cusp. And I'm looking so unhappy. I'm scowling.
So when you say that you wanted to push Charlie down the stairs or stab him, was it that you were annoyed? Was it that you were jealous?
I was jealous. Yeah.
But killing Charlie didn't really make a lot of sense. And not just because you can't kill a puppet.
He was the head of the family. He wasn't just a member of the family.
What was that like for your mother?
Such a good question. My mother dealt with it with tremendous grace.
Frances Bergen was an actress and fashion model from Alabama. Her face graced billboards as both the Ipana girl for Ipana toothpaste and the Chesterfield girl for Chesterfield cigarettes. She was only 19 when she met Edgar.
She met my father at his radio show. She was in the front row.
Right.
And she had very long legs, and she was sitting in the front row wearing a skirt and heels. And my father saw her legs and went about meeting her afterwards.
Edgar, who had never married, was 39 and a major star.
And there was a big age difference.
Yeah, by about 20 years. He was a very good candidate for marriage, and she loved him.
They were married in Mexico in the summer of 1945.
And do you think after the wedding, when they started home together, she thought, there are 3 of us in this marriage?
Oh, very much so. And accepted it. I mean, everybody accepted it.
Yeah. One of the crazy ways that the press participated, there's an LA Times headline after your parents get engaged, and it says, "Will Charlie let Bergen wed?"
Oh, gosh.
Ugh. Everyone was all in on this.
Yeah. It's just really weirdness beyond what should be allowed.
Before long, Candace began making appearances with her father and her sort of brother.
we'd go on my father's radio show together. Obviously, Charlie was a regular. He was on every show since it was the Charlie McCarthy show. But I would go on and we would compete with each other for my father's attention.
Tonight, Charlie, tonight my little daughter Candy is going to be on this show.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's why I'm so happy. You know, she's the apple of my eye.
Yes, I know. But don't forget, Buster, I'm the cabbage of your bank book.
Yes.
Candace was just 9 years old in this radio show appearance, and it seems like her father is stoking the rivalry.
Candy, my own little Candy.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, tonight my heart is full of joy. Tonight my little girl steps out into the footlights of life.
Down, Daddy, down.
Yeah.
Holy smoke, she's getting laughs, too. Watch it, kid. Remember, there's only one star on this show. Just remember that.
Candace was living in Charlie's shadow, but so was her father.
But I want to be on the show, Charlie.
Oh, sure.
I want to be just like Daddy.
Oh, no ambition, eh?
I remember that dialogue, yes. He was a real smartass.
On some level, did you love Charlie?
No, but I felt connected to him, sometimes uncomfortably connected to him. There were moments when I liked him. It depended on my father because, you know, my father was the guy behind him.
Did Charlie make it more difficult for you to get close to your father? Did it seem that way?
I spent less time with my father when he was with Charlie. Because he was working with Charlie, and so Charlie would always go with him in the car, in his trunk. But I was just jealous of the time, I think.
Of the time.
And the importance. He was so important.
Candace relished the one-on-one time with her father that she did get.
We'd go fishing. We'd go in his plane. He'd put phone books on the seat for me, and I'd get to fly. We'd go to Palm Springs, and we'd just have, like, little trips together that was just the two of us.
Without Charlie.
Yeah. No Charlie.
Charlie-free zone.
Yeah. Like Charlie-free zone. And mother-free zone. It was just us.
That's pretty special. Can I ask you, do you remember the first time that you said, I love you, to your father?
I don't know that I ever did. Because I never heard it from him. I think... I think it was... And my mother, too. It was a big struggle for me. Because I had to, like... Because I wanted to hear it from my parents so much. I'm sure I probably forced my father to say it some way when I was older, like 13 or 14, when I got into that sticky age. But, and I dimly remember him saying, yes, well, I love you too. And it's like, okay, can we move on now?
When Candace was 15, her brother Chris was born, and this was an actual flesh and blood brother. And you just loved your little brother.
I did. And we're still very, very close.
Yeah.
Except he's 6'3 now, so he's not a little brother anymore.
By this time, Candace was becoming more and more comfortable in the spotlight. At 18, she appeared on the TV program The Hollywood Palace, hosted by Burl Ives.
Edgar, I hope you won't mind if I tell the folks something about the lovely young girl who appeared in your act.
Oh, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that charming young lady in Edgar's act was his 18-year-old daughter, Candy.
Yes. So look out for her.
Hiya, Candy.
Hello, Mr. Ives.
Yes.
Isn't she beautiful?
Well, thank you, Charlie.
Just my luck. She has to be my sister.
Oh, gosh.
It was the family business.
Yes, it was. Very much so.
Do you think your father was ever resentful of Charlie?
Well, I think he created a monster. Everybody wanted Charlie, and they didn't want my father.
Edgar's dream was to appear in movie musicals.
My father did a few things by himself, but really, Charlie was the draw. My father had to fight to get billing above Charlie on the radio show. It was always the Charlie McCarthy Show with Edgar Bergen.
There's a quote where your father said at one point, Charlie is famous and I am the forgotten man.
Yeah.
Did he mean that seriously?
Yeah. I don't think he would have admitted it, but yeah. Charlie just stole his thunder.
On the other side of the break, a father's star wanes as his daughter's star rises.
Ladies and gentlemen, Candace Bergen.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Need an easy button to feed your baby? Baby Brezza's Formula Pro Advanced makes a perfectly mixed warm formula bottle automatically at the push of a button. No air bubbles, no fuss. Literally, choose your temp, select your ounces, push start, and you're done. Works with virtually all formulas and bottles. Say goodbye to the 3 a.m. feeding chaos and hello to this revolutionary stress-free solution. Raising a baby is hard enough. Let Baby Brezza make feeding a breeze. Get your Formula Pro Advanced at babybrezza.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
In 1965, ventriloquist Edgar Bergen and his daughter Candace Bergen, then age 19, appeared on the game show What's My Line? There's an ease and warmth between the two of them, but their careers were moving in different directions.
Look magazine said it, and today the New York Daily News had a wonderful piece about Candice as one of the great stars of the future in the American cinema.
Right? In the group.
I don't know. It's very nice of you.
You and I overdo you, but
I'm one of the stars of the past.
Right.
And your father says, kind of under his breath, and I'm a star of the past.
Well, it's true. Yeah.
Edgar and Charlie's hugely popular radio shows ran for nearly two decades until 1956, but by the 1960s, the novelty of their act had long since faded.
Was that period hard for your father when Charlie became less popular and people just didn't care?
Well, Charlie becoming less popular was my father also becoming less popular, and he'd aged out. It happens to all of us.
Well, you're still getting a lot of work. But
Candace Bergen has been a star for six decades. Her rise started back in the 1960s.
Snobbish, fierce, contradictory, and controversial. I'm Candace Bergen, who portrays Lakey in the group.
That's Candace in the trailer for the 1966 movie The Group, her screen debut. By that time, she'd had success as a fashion model. At 21, she landed on the cover of Vogue. Working both sides of the camera, she pursued a career as a photojournalist in tandem with acting. And in 1971, she starred opposite Jack Nicholson in Carnal Knowledge.
Boy, you're really something.
I don't feel like something. I feel like nothing.
Her performance in the movie Starting Over earned her an Academy Award nomination. On TV, she hosted Saturday Night Live in its inaugural season and made history.
I am very happy to be here tonight. I am also especially happy to be here as Saturday Night's first woman host. This may not make up for the ERA vote the other day, but at least it's something.
While her father was a traditional Republican, Candace campaigned for Democratic presidential candidate George McGovern. She associated with and supported activists like Abby Hoffman. She was arrested at an anti-war sit-in. By the early 1970s, Candace was a lot more than the daughter of a ventriloquist.
What was that like, do you think, for your father when he went from being Edgar Bergen to being Candace Bergen's father?
It was an adjustment for people in our house, for my mother, for my father, I think he was proud of me, but at the same time, I'm sure he was very mixed about it.
Meanwhile, Charlie was spending most of his time in a trunk, pulled out only occasionally to play small stages or conventions. Edgar himself had aged into an emeritus figure. Johnny Carson, who'd gotten his start as a magician, was a longtime fan of Edgar Bergen's and had him on his show. Watching Edgar on The Tonight Show in 1977 without his scene partner is bittersweet.
They've always said that ventriloquists basically, remember when they were talking about you, that you were a shy man, and you use Charlie and Mortimer just to say things that they feel more comfortable saying than you would if you said them. Is there any truth to that? I mean, you can be...
I hate to admit it, but I guess it certainly is, because I wish I could walk into a room and be accepted as readily as Charlie and Mortimer. I've tried it, and it doesn't work. I'm just dull.
In September 1978, nearly 60 years after the act was born, Edgar Bergen and his wooden sidekick convened a press conference in Los Angeles to announce their retirement. Here's Charlie addressing reporters.
I just am not going to admit it's my last performance. I'm going to keep hoping.
Yeah.
You take your pills and we can do a few benefits anyway.
They would play one final two-week engagement at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
Do you remember your father's farewell performances
very
at Caesar's
well.
Palace?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was very emotional. In fact, I can't believe I'm getting emotional now thinking about it. He was dressed in his white tie and tails, which he never usually performed in.
Candace, her mother Frances, and her brother Chris were all there on opening night.
We were in a banquette in front of him, and it was so emotional for us.
Edgar and Charlie snapped back into the old routines as if they'd never stopped doing them. Candace says that despite his recent hospitalization, her father's performance was flawless.
I think you wrote that you looked over and you saw your mother was mouthing the words.
Yeah, she'd heard them all so many times. And he used old material. But he made it fresh. And we went backstage afterward. And I just hugged him. I'm surprised at how much it's affected me.
Was he surprised at the turnout that people wanted to see him off? Because it had been tough
lean
for him the years,
years
before that.
Lean years, yeah. He'd been performing in really podunk.
To me, what's so beautiful about it is somebody who does have these lean years and has been performing this act for almost 60 years. And then at the end, in this big venue, it's a big deal. And that you all were there for it.
It was great. It was a great goodbye for him to have. And then he died.
Just 3 nights into the run, Edgar Bergen died in his sleep in his Las Vegas hotel room.
He began his career with not much more than a block of wood and his native wit, which was plenty. But when Edgar Bergen died Saturday at age 75, more than the entertainment world took notice.
I remember at his funeral, Carl Reiner was walking in, and he said, I hope I can have an ending like that. Because for a performer, that's what you want.
The Muppet movie was dedicated to his memory. Jim Henson just worshipped your father, it sounds like.
That was very nice.
He spoke at the memorial, and he brought Kermit. Is that right?
Yes. It wasn't your usual funeral, and Reagan spoke.
There was, of course, Edgar, the kindly and modest man we all knew. There was never any cruelty in the laughter that he brought to us. But there was an Edgar Bergen who in truth was the puckish, pixie-like destroyer of the pompous, Charlie.
Johnny Carson also spoke about Edgar's utter lack of pretension.
He was the most unpretentious man, the most modest, just, again, Swedish.
Was Charlie at the memorial?
No.
He was not?
No. Okay. That would have been too weird. God.
Edgar Bergen left $10,000 in his will for the Charlie McCarthy Fund, but nothing for Candace.
That was a bitter pill.
What do you think that was about? Why did he do that?
Well, he knew I'd left home and was making money for many years before he died, and he knew I'd made a lot of money, so I didn't need it. Of course, neither did Charlie, and he owed it all to Charlie. I mean, it was Charlie's money. Charlie was the breadwinner.
Charlie, of course, couldn't actually accept the funds. In fact, the money was designated to be used to fund ventriloquist performances for children in orphanages and, quote, other such similar institutes for destitute and handicapped children. Charlie McCarthy relocated from Beverly Hills to a new home in Washington, D.C., at the Smithsonian Institute. Candace and her family flew to D.C. to preview the exhibit.
We were thrilled that we had him out and taken care of, and because it was like, what do we do with him now? Because Charlie without my father was like a thing.
Candace Bergen remembers staring at Charlie on display, waiting for a look of recognition or a wisecrack. But it never came. Without her father, there was no magic. The illusion was gone.
Why, when we started way back in those days, you might say we were practically nobody.
Yeah, that's right. Why, we've come a long way, haven't I?
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed this Mobituary. May I ask you to please rate and review our podcast? You can also follow Mobituaries on Facebook and Instagram. And you can follow me on the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, at Moraka. Hear all new episodes of Mobituaries every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. And check out Mobituaries' Great Lives Worth Reliving, the New York Times best-selling book, available in paperback and audiobook. This episode of Mobituaries was produced by Aaron Schrank. Our team of producers also includes Hazel Bryan and me, Mo Rocca, with engineering by Josh Hahn. Our theme music is written by Daniel Hart. Our archival producer is Jamie Benson. Mobituaries production company is Neon Hum Media. Indispensable support from Alan Pang, Amy Cronenberg, and everyone at CBS News Radio. Special thanks to Steve Razies, Rand Morrison, and Alberto Robina. Executive producers for Mobituaries include Megan Marcus, Jonathan Hirsch, and Mo Rocca. The series is created by yours truly.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.